Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We begin this Thursday right here, right now on Football Full Circle live on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens, and the mastermind of the pigskin is back in the saddle, right where he belongs. Joe Lisi back on this Thursday on FFC. Lisi, how was your day off yesterday gallivanting around New York City?
Oh, it was fantastic, Ben, and you and I broke bread. Well, we didn't break bread, but we met for the first time and working for over a year and a half. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Stop by the studios to say hi to you and Greg Sussman and the crew, and that's what it's all about. But now we're locked, we're loaded, we're ready for not just the college football season, but the off-season OTAs and mini camps for teams around the league, including the LA Rams, right? They signed Aaron Donald a couple of days ago. Now they signed their big play Super Bowl MVP wide receiver in Cooper Kupp. Money is just flowing out of the LA Rams and Sean McVay right now.
They're just printing it out there in Los Angeles. That is for sure. Joe Lisi and I meeting in person for the first time yesterday, everybody. It was ecstatic, emphatic stuff. The Lisi man, the mastermind of the pigskin. All right, so let's dive into that. Cooper Kupp and the Los Angeles Rams agreeing to a three-year, $80 million extension that keeps him with the Rams for the next five seasons, a grand total around $110 million. Lisi, 75 of the 80 mil part of the extension is reported to be guaranteed. It's a lot of money for the Rams that have been dishing out a lot of cash. Field Yates of ESPN, Joe, broke this down. A busy Rams offseason has included deals for QB Matthew Stafford getting an extension after leading Los Angeles to the Super Bowl, 4 years, $160 mil. Cooper Kupp, 5 years, $110 million. Of course, we know the restructured deal of Aaron Donald, now 3 years, $95 mil, the highest for a non-paid quarterback on a yearly salary basis. Bobby Wagner over from Seattle, 5 years, $50 million, and Allen Robinson adding to that wide receiver core. Across from Cooper Kupp gets 3 years, $46.5 million. That's a lot of big money for the Rams in their quest to win a second straight Super Bowl.
It is, and they're willing to do what it takes, right? We saw that last year with the additions of OBJ and obviously Von Miller on the defensive side of the ball. In order for them to be successful and maintain the momentum, right? They're 5-1 in what, plus 130 right now to win the division,
right?
For the NFC West, they're going to need Cooper Kupp. We know that when he's not in the lineup or he's a little banged up, obviously that offense takes a little bit of a step back, a little bit of regression. He gives them the explosive plays over the top, the yards after the catch, great route runner. You couple him with Allen Robinson and potentially OBJ in that lineup, you're going to have a fantastic dynamic trio, right? And Matt Stafford should not miss a beat in terms of a Super Bowl or possibly an MVP caliber type of performance. So we'll see how it plays out. The biggest thing surrounding the LA Rams right now is their intensity. Are they motivated to go back to back, right? We have to see, but money helps that, doesn't it? When you're getting paid, you sure want to show up to work each and every day, don't you?
Absolutely so. And when you think about Cooper Kupp, Joe, a historic 2021 campaign, the Triple Crown winner, in the National Football League from a wide receiver perspective. At 1947, in terms of total receiving yards just in that regular season, 145 receptions in the regular season, averaged close to 115 yards per game as a receiver and 16 receiving touchdowns. So total grabs, total yards, total receiving touchdowns. Led the league in all three of those statistical categories, a triple crown Cahooper, as we like to call him here. And as we look, Joe, at Los Angeles right now, a lot of people look at all of those huge, huge deals given out, and for the Rams really in the last couple of days, for both Aaron Donald's restructured contract and now that further extension for Cooper Kupp. A lot of people look around the National Football League and be like, isn't there a salary cap? Isn't there a way to limit some of this spending? What's going on right here? And that's where I think a lot of people question all of these big deals being let out for Los Angeles, which makes us think, Joe, maybe that salary cap's not as strong as it might appear.
Well, they have smart accountants, right? And they have smart guys that understand, and men right. and women that understand how to get around maybe the minor loopholes to maybe potentially give the Rams more value this year and more explosiveness. It's all about restructuring deals in terms of when they hit, in terms of the salary cap takes place. With this particular deal, I believe that the actual salary cap hit is less this year for Cooper Kupp, right? Which is amazing when you think about that. So, great. It's not just on the field, right? The GM, they get the players in camp and in the facilities, but then the back office is restructuring deals to allow that train to continue in motion, and that's what it's all about in terms of potentially seeing a dynasty maybe in the modern-day NFL.
I saw a great explanation of this idea of the salary cap versus where cap hits happen and what a structured contract looks like in the National Football League from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero this morning, where pretty much he explains the Rams are aggressive in how they pay their players earlier on in their careers and into the duration of their contract to add in signing bonuses, which do not hit as a part of the cap. So you have to be right. You have to be correct if you're giving people extensions early on. This is 2 years before Cooper Kupp's contract has even come to an end. You have to make sure you're good on it. They weren't with Jared Goff. They weren't necessarily with Todd Gurley, giving him a big deal. But that's how they do it. They pay this out over the duration of a contract, and thus a salary cap hit on a yearly basis is not nearly as detrimental. We'll focus on the Rams, what all this money means as Los Angeles tries to win back-to-back Super Bowls. Up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens alongside the mastermind of the pigskin, Joe Lisi, and we are here on your Thursday afternoon as mandatory minicamps across the National Football League are now underway, which when you have players back in person, Lisi, it means that maybe some contract negotiations need to pick up some steam. And we saw that in the last couple of days for a couple of players on the LA Rams. They're all world defensive tackle in Aaron Donald, and of course triple crown Cahooper, Cooper Kupp, signing a contract extension yesterday with Los Angeles as well. Big money given out, Joe, but it's all in the hunt for another Lombardi Trophy. Los Angeles looking for its second straight right now, Lisi, and the fourth best odds to do so for a second consecutive year. Buffalo is the favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook at plus 650. The Bucks $1 behind at plus 750. The Chiefs $2 behind that price at plus 950. And the Rams round out the top four at 11-1. Lisi, we have discussed often the LA Rams and their outlook this offseason, where they are in the NFC West. I think the path sets up for LA once again. I think there's value on an 11-1 number, as I expect the Rams to contend for another NFC championship.
I do as well, and I might have found another bet for us to take on the Rams. It's not all that great, but it provides a little bit better value when you look at the board, right? FanDuel has done a fantastic job in terms of the 10-plus wins for this season. If you look at the LA Rams in 10-plus wins, they're minus 220, okay? But if you look at their win total, it's 10.5 with plus 100. So, I mean, obviously you run the risk of them going 10-7 and you lose that bet. But I would much rather take the over 10.5 at plus 100 than I would at 10-plus at minus 220, wouldn't you?
Right. Oh, for sure. I mean, you're getting, what, $1.20 of value pretty much to have one more win on the docket? That might be plus 120 for a moneyline ticket if you were to think of it from that perspective for any given Rams game later in the season. And when we look at LA right now, Joe, I think another area we could maybe find some profitability on Los Angeles. And one of the great things the FanDuel Sportsbook does is those early lines for the first couple weeks of the NFL campaign. The Rams are playing on that opening night, hosting the Buffalo Bills of the NFL season, Thursday, September 8th. That game's happening at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, and I understand the optimism behind Buffalo. Do not get me wrong. I truly, truly do. But you're going to have all of the festivities of a Super Bowl night, crowning the Super Bowl champs in their own home stadium in front of their crowd, however large that might be in Los Angeles. And currently right now, Joe, Buffalo is booked as a 1-point road favorite. I would take the one with Los Angeles right now, and I think you're getting a pretty good number on LA.
Yeah, it's a tough game, right? Yeah, you can make an argument for both sides. I originally saw that line and said, you know, Buffalo will probably be the most motivated team in this area. But when you hear you break it down, maybe LA is up into this matchup. If you can't get a motivated team week number one with celebrating the Super Bowl victory in your house, sold out crowd, best team potentially in the AFC coming to play this year, 2022 kicking off on a Thursday night. I mean, it doesn't get more electric than that, right? You would think that the LA Rams should be motivated, and all you need them to do is win, baby. Just win. Just get the W, and you lock in that bet right now. So that might not be a bad way to go for the first start of the week this coming season, Ben.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that's where we look. The Rams in week two, as we have those lines available as well, the FanDuel Sports, but get the Atlanta Falcons, both of those opening two games at home in L.A., nearly a 2-touchdown favorite, Joe, for that second week of the year, laying 13 points against the Falcons in Los Angeles on that Sunday afternoon. So a little bit more of rest following that opening Thursday night of the year. You can certainly chalk that up, you would think, at least to one of those 10 or 11 wins, depending on what market you're looking at for Los Angeles. And Joe, we had this conversation with Rich Sermonello yesterday, ending out the show. Just briefly, a couple of final thoughts on what is a very interesting dichotomy to me in terms of looking at your path to a championship game, your path to the postseason within the NFC. Again, comparatively to the other conference in the AFC, there should be a little bit of an easier way of things in the NFC this year. And the Bucs are the favorites right now to win the NFC title at plus 320. It's nearly $2 better than the second best prices on both the Packers and the Rams, Joe, who are 5-1. Do you think Tampa Bay is deserving of being nearly a $2 shorter favorite than those two teams in Green Bay in LA? Or do you think that margin is a little bit too large?
I think they, just based off the division, I understand that they should be slightly shorter, but basically two to one in favor of the Bucs and Brady over LA? No. Because the Bucs have question marks as well, right? I mean, let's think about it. They lose Arians. They have a defensive-minded head coach. Godwin comes back from the ACL. There's no guarantee he's going to hit the ground running from exactly where he was with Evans last year. The running game, it's good, but it's not consistent week to week, even though Fournette re-signed and comes back. You lose Rojo. Keyshawn Vaughn, right? So at the end of the day, there are some question marks there, coupled with the fact that Tom Brady's a year older. And again, we can make this argument. I love Tom Brady. Think he's one of the best ever. I love him. I love him for what he brings a potential team. But he is getting older. You still run that risk that maybe it's not exactly duplicated to the last 2 years, and there's slight regression. Even slight regression might open the door to the LA Rams to solidify themselves in the top spot over Tampa Bay. I do feel that Tampa and LA are the two best teams because I'm not sold on Aaron Rodgers, what he lost with Devontae Adams.
I think it's a great point, right? Like, maybe the Packers shouldn't be there at 5-1, but I don't think the Bucs should be $1.80 ahead of the LA Rams, again, who won the NFC Championship game last year, who, of course, won a Super Bowl last year in Super Bowl 56 and knocked off the Bucs on the road in Florida to get to that point. Sure, it was a wildly dramatic game that the Rams led by 21 points in that second half before Tampa forced a tie, and then it was LA at the end winning late based on a blown coverage to the man they just paid in Cooper Kupp. But I don't think there should be that much of a distinction, Lisi. And I'll say two things about what you said there. It's not a winning bet by any means to bet against Tom Brady, right? It's not going to profit. Every year we have said for the last 5, 6, 7 years, all right, he's getting up there. He's 38, he's 39, now he's 40. It's got to drop off at some point. Last year he led the league in completions, in yards, in passing touchdowns. That's what Tom Brady did at the tender age of 44. So why do we think now at 45 something's going to slow down? It's not a wise bet to make, but it doesn't mean it could happen. Right? That's where that distinction is. And even if Tom is near the top of his craft as he was last year, that doesn't necessarily translate into Tampa Bay just being that forefront team in the NFC. But the reason, Lisi, that Tampa is a favorite, I think, with how short those odds are in comparison to the rest of the teams in the NFC, is they're minus 320 to win their own division. They're plus 320 to win the conference overall. They're minus 320 to win the NFC South as very heavy favorites, and thus the path there, Lisi, leads to probably better playoff positioning and at least hosting a couple games next year in the postseason.
Right. Because we know that the division is weaker from a quarterback perspective. You know, you look at the West right now in terms of L.A., and obviously Kyler Murray and Arizona's there. San Francisco, a better defense. We don't buy into the teams in Tampa Bay's division, do we? I mean, we're not buying in all in to the New Orleans Saints, right? First-year head coach Dennis Allen. How big of a loss is Sean Payton from a game plan and offensive play-calling ability, even though they keep the same OC? There's a drop-off there, or at least we think there's going to be a drop-off. Alvin Kamara is going to be lost for a period of time because of that off-the-field situation. And Carolina and Atlanta are in disarray right now.
Right. I mean, the Saints have dominated the Bucs in the regular season. They are 4-0 against Tampa since Tom Brady took over in Florida. But still, you would think the Bucs on paper have an easy path through the NFC South. Plenty more to come on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on Football Full Circle on this Thursday, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. And Joe, now it's time to take our conversation from the NFC West and maybe a touch on the NFC South to the NFC East. A couple of teams in this division may be looking to go on the up and up this year. It is the only division within the NFC right now. Well, not the only division. There's also the NFC West, but one of the two divisions within the NFC that every team, Joe Lisi, is in minus money. But the difference in prices is the most distinct in the NFC. It is the closest market that we see from where the Cowboys are at plus 115 to where the Giants are with the longest odds at plus 700, less than $6 of difference. For comparison, the Rams are plus 130 to win the West, but the Seahawks round out the four at 13-1. So all teams in plus money, Joe, less than $6 between the favorites in Dallas and the longest odds in New York at plus 700. What should that tell us about the NFC East this upcoming season?
Well, I think there's at least three teams that can make some noise, and I'll throw Washington and Carson Wentz in there. I think the Giants are in a little bit of a rebuild with Brian Daboll. But at the end of the day, Ben, the fact that nobody's won back-to-back divisions, right, division winners since 2004 is why you're seeing such a tight race in terms of the NFC East. Let's be honest. I mean, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, you can make the argument as the best, obviously, quarterback to wide receiver in the conference, maybe, if you want to even go take it a step further. There's no guarantee that Jalen Hurts doesn't break out for maybe a 4,500 performance this year and maybe 30 touchdowns. I mean, you can't say it can't happen. So at the end of the day right now, it comes down to which team is going to be more consistent. The problem with Dallas is, in big games, Dak hasn't stepped up. What's the identity on the defensive side of the ball? I will say this. I like Dak, but I don't love him in a big spot. And more importantly, I can't stand McCarthy, right? He coaches way out of a paper bag. I would say right now, if you're taking a shot, I would only bet on the Eagles and Giants, believe it or not, because of the price.
I would agree. My money is all on Philadelphia. And the reason it's on Philly is because I trust in that defense. I trust in the ground game that was built up last year to be the best rushing offense in the league over the final half of the NFL season. And if this is going to be the time for Jalen Hurts to prove that he can be a starting quarterback at the NFL level, then it's going to be this season. When you add in Devontae Smith, of course, who was there last year, the second-year pro now out of Alabama, and you acquire A.J. Brown. When you have all of those pieces in place, and you have Dallas Goedert as one of the leading young tight ends in the league, and you have Miles Sanders in the backfield, and you have Jalen Hurts in an offense orchestrated to highlight his strengths, if it is not going to be this year, Joe, then I'm not sure it's for Jalen Hurts in that situation in Philadelphia. And we saw movement in this market following the NFL draft, one of the few markets we saw shift following that A.J. Brown trade, because the Cowboys were a slight odds on favorite at -115. Now they're +115, and the Eagles have moved up the board from +240 to +210. So I love the value you're still getting on Philadelphia. But Joe, as we discuss the New York Giants, they're going to be such an interesting team to monitor this year. A new regime in New York. You have Joe Shane now as your general manager. He brings in Brian Daboll, a couple of guys that were very familiar with Buffalo the last few years of their lives. The assistant GM was Joe Shane in Buffalo under Brandon Bean, and of course Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Bills, who is credited with reinventing the way that Josh Allen plays football, becoming one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and now the Bills, the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Brian Daboll takes that offensive mind to New York, where it's going to be interesting to see, Joe, how he utilizes the pieces in place. He has already said throughout this offseason he wants DJ, Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones to just let it rip, and he gets Saquon Barkley on the final and fifth year of Saquon's rookie deal. Saquon, speaking after practice yesterday, Joe, at minicamp, said part of the reason he struggled last year, he didn't really trust his surgically repaired torn ACL in that right knee from two seasons ago, but now is starting to get that confidence back in what his body can do, and thus has a little bit more belief in what he will be able to do heading forward in this 2022 campaign.
When you're a running back, you can't think. You have to react. You have to see the hole and react. And if you're hesitant, especially at the line of scrimmage, because you're not sure if the knee is going to hold up when you cut, that's a problem for a running back. Then, and from a mentality perspective, you're checked out, right? So to hear him say that he's all in now, hopefully you could get better than 3 yards a carry, right? Because when he was in there, the running game was non-existent. I mean, Booker was a much better and consistent running back when he was running behind that patchwork offensive line. So now with Brian Daboll, with the ability to be more aggressive in terms of the play calling, the ability to maybe open up and have confidence in Daniel Jones, and I'm not saying I'm buying Daniel Jones, but they're going to put the football in his hands and say, Daniel, we're going to give you an opportunity to win ball games. Then defenses might loosen up, and that might open up the running game for Saquon Barkley in terms of edge those type of rushes. If they can do that, I think they have a shot to win 6 or 7 games. I think he's that much of an upgrade from where Joe Judge was, antiquated Joe Judge that took 2 knees inside the 5 and allowed Mike Lennon to throw 4 times in a football game. I thought I would never see that going back since the days of Red Grange.
As a Big Ten guy, when you see a team line up in what looks like a diamond goal line package with 4 fullbacks in the backfield or whatever it looked like and take a knee on your own 12-yard line on 4th and 9, normally that would be something I would love. Not in the NFL and not what we saw out of the New York Giants last year. Lisey, their team win total is 7.5. The under has heavy juice at -160, the over at +135 of that 7.5. Win total. As it pertains to Saquon Barkley, he said yesterday after practice, I would say the difference, and this is a quote from Saquon, I would say the difference from college to now was I was way more confident in college and early in my career than I was prior to last year. And then he followed up by saying what a lot of New Yorkers are going to highlight on and hold on to, now I'm starting to get that swagger back. Well, that is the hope for the number 2 overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft. He will be a huge, huge component on if the Giants have any chance of sniffing 7 or maybe even 8 wins. He had 2,391 yards, Joe, in the 3 seasons since his phenomenal offensive rookie of the year campaign when he compiled 2,028 total yards in 1 year. That was in 2018. He's only had a little bit more than 300 in the 3 years since that. 300 more than that 2,028 he had in 2018. They're going to need more production out of Saquon Barkley. He is going to be needed to be utilized in this Brian Daboll offense in more creative ways than he was in years past. And that will be a huge component, Joe, if they get close to that 7.5 for a team win total.
Oh, I agree. And his ability to catch the football out of the backfield, Ben. I mean, that's another safety check down for Daniel Jones. You need Saquon Barkley in the ballgame on third downs because of the potential of him catching the football out of the backfield. Let's look at the wide receivers too, Ben. Galladay, Kadarius Toney still on the roster, speedster. Wandale Robinson, a Swiss Army knife for the Kentucky Wildcats and your Nebraska Cornhuskers. Yep. There is the potential. They're both Tyreek Hill type of players. You could have both players out there coupled with the experience of Galladay. I mean, they can move the football. We might see a transition from dead unders in Giant games last year, and I think they went through a realm of like 6 or 7, a 6 or 7 game streak where the total was like 41-43. They might be in the 50s this year, and I tell you what, week 1 against Ryan Tannehill, if I'm Brian Daboll, I want to know what I have. Let's go out. Let's throw the football 50 times and see what we have this season. So I agree with you. Think about this. If you're Brian Daboll, there's no expectations this year. So why not roll the dice, right? And if you hit lightning in a bottle and maybe you challenge Dallas or Philly, maybe they go 8-9. Maybe they go 9-8 and are outside looking in for a wild card. You can't say never. The concern is the defense, but that's a whole nother story. Offensively, they might be much more improved with Daboll's tutelage.
Absolutely so. I'm counting this up right now, Lisey, to stress your point about the under streak the Giants were on. Starting on October 17th, week number 6 of last season, they had a streak where they either pushed or went under a total in 7 or actually 8 straight weeks if you include that push. They went under in, it looks to be, 10 of their last 12 games last year. And starting in early December for the final month and a half of the season, their last 6 games, the highest total they had was 43.5. And that included against the Chargers, and that game went over. That included against the Cowboys. So, yes, a very different makeup, it would seem, this year for New York than in years past. But, Lisey, both New York teams last year, the Jets and the Giants, only won 4 games. And for the Giants to have that team win total now up by 3.5 wins, they hit an over, it would be double their win amount from last year. It's an interesting distinction because the Jets are only up to 5.5, and although the over has heavy juice for their win total at -160, there's a greater expectation for what the Giants can do in 2022 than that of the Jets.
Yeah, and think about last year's total. It was 7, and there were a lot of people on that bandwagon, and Joe Judge and that staff disappointed. So Brian Daboll, a great offensive mind, curious to see what he does in MetLife this year.
It will be so fascinating to see if Daniel Jones can be that quarterback. The Giants did not pick up his fifth-year rookie option. This is a big-time prove-it year for DJ and the Giants. Plenty more from Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle here on a Thursday on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm Ben Stevens. He's Joe Lisi. We've spent a lot of time the last 3-4 days focusing on the NFL, certainly over the last three. But an interesting update that Joe Lisi himself just provided me here during the commercial break as we go back now to college football. And in this evolving offseason, and Joe, over these summer months in the changing landscape of CFB, where NIL seems to be winning the day, Fanatics and Topps, yes, the trading card company, have reached agreements to make new cards for college football and basketball, allowing some of the best athletes at these levels in these sports to profit off their name, their image, and their likeness. I'm all for this, Joe, and it will be cool for many, in my opinion, to be able to get a card of their favorite quarterback from their favorite team.
Yeah, we have the ability to jump in on the ground floor, right? That's what the whole trading card game really changed, the complexity, right? It became a one-way market to where we see NFTs evolve today. Think about it. It used to be an active market where you could buy both NFL, both rookie cards, Major League Baseball, NBA, sell it at a higher price. There was a potential even on eBay. Then it became a one-sided market where all the manufacturers just pumped out product, but then devalued after you bought it, right? You buy an Eli Manning helmet for $500, let's say, on a site. All of a sudden, you go to sell it, you can't even get $50 for it because they're not unique anymore. So now we have the ability to now jump in on the ground floor where college cards on both football and basketball were really relegated till these players got drafted. Yeah, I want to see these guys. And you couldn't use, remember back in the day, like Colorado, I was a big Eric Bieniemy guy. They never had the Buffalo on the helmet because they didn't have those name, image, and likeness. Now we get that. I think it's great.
I think it's fantastic. You can get a player card of Bryce Young at Alabama. You can get a player card of C.J. Stroud at Ohio State. Will Anderson at Alabama. Bijan Robinson at Texas. That just doesn't have to be quarterbacks. If you want to play the villain card, grab a Caleb Williams from USC, although I don't think Caleb is a villain, just his head coach in Lincoln Riley, who, by the way, a couple of days ago, I guess, was complaining about the lack of talent at Oklahoma. All right, Lincoln, good one. Keep on diving into that hole, my friend. So, yeah, I mean, it's awesome, Joe. And what we're talking about here in terms of playing cards, that's the beauty of NIL. What we have seen often this offseason and the gripes that some have about the changing landscape of college athletics is that booster-back collectives paying players virtually to come to their school through these fraudulent-seeming NIL deals is not necessarily the purpose of name, image, and likeness legislation. But this is that, right? To have one of the star players in whatever sport, in whatever portion of the country, on a playing card where it's literally their name, image, and likeness on display, Joe, that is the beauty of NIL. To allow these players, it may be the most profitable time in their lives, to profit off what they can do because of how marketable they are. That is the essence of name, image, and likeness.
It is, and we're not just talking the marquee players, right? It's the secondary guys. Maybe a player that's on the cusp of being drafted. He could still maybe make some money while he's in college to you know, fortify maybe a little fund to work or open up a business. It's not just big picture. It's the ability to recover your name, image, and likeness and to be able to profit off it. If the university is doing it, the players should be able to do it as well. They should be able to sell their jerseys and their game used, memorabilia to potential suitors. That's what it comes down to, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so. And that is the idea of what this is from Topps and Fanatics, to give these players an opportunity, a legal opportunity, to make the most out of their name, image, and likeness. Lisi, we're here now in the second week of June. A month from now, we're really going to start with conference media days around the country. And we're going to hear a lot more about these ideas of name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal and how this ever-evolving landscape of college football specifically is starting to change. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to hear these takes from players and from coaches, because mainly we've heard it from coaches. But how are the players feeling about it? What does it mean to them? How much does it excite them for a new college football season? There's so much chatter already happening, Joe. We're only a month out, really, from the unofficial beginnings, if you will, of a new college football campaign.
Yeah, that's what it's all about as well, is that, you know, when teams have optimism, and we're not talking the top five, we're talking the teams that, let's say, 15 to 25. We want to know, do they have an opportunity to maybe potentially jockey for position and really surprise, just the way Ole Miss and Baylor did last year? I mean, you might have been able to survey 10,000 people. How many would have thought Baylor would have been in the Sugar Bowl? And on top of it, beating an SEC opponent in Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels. Maybe five, if you're lucky, and all five lived in Waco. I mean, come on now. Let's be honest. I mean, Baylor was the magical season last year, and the way they won the Big 12 championship is why there's room for optimism, why there's room and talk of expansion. This is what it's all about, Ben, and I'm really excited to break down schedules and where maybe these teams are over the next 5 to 6 months.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting to break this all down, to go over some of our favorite team win totals. And Lisi's mandatory minicamp in the NFL starts to wind down. We're still awaiting kids returning to campus for the college football ranks to get back to summer workouts and to gear up for media days and fall camp. We'll have some time to pick some of our favorite team win totals. We'll be creative here. We'll find our ways of doing so within divisions, within conferences. It is going to be incredible. But to continue, Joe, on this NIL conversation for a minute. In the last couple of weeks, some coaches have been asked at whatever events they've been at about this idea of name, image, and likeness. And apparently, Gene Smith and Ryan Day, the athletic director and head coach, of course, of Ohio State football, respectively, were speaking to a Greater Business Bureau of sorts in Columbus, whatever the event was. And they were saying how they need $13 million, pretty much an ante up, if you will, to be competitive in the name, image, and likeness landscape. James Franklin, just a couple of days ago, was speaking to the media and said the number we need is bigger than any numbers that you've heard so far. So these coaches now are going around the country, speaking to their biggest boosters in their communities, trying to get things into an NIL fund. It is interesting to see that dichotomy. It is interesting to see where those discussions are going, but it's just the reality of this landscape we're in now in college sports.
Well, think about this as well, right? Because the Power Five conferences, right? But the big boys, the Ohio States, the Michigan, the Penn States, and the Big Ten, right? Obviously, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, right? Outside of the recognizable names, Oklahoma State, right? The NIL deals have allowed the smaller schools with a large booster base, or let's just say a very affluent booster base that have a lot of money to compete with the big boys, right? So now it's no longer, well, I want to go to Alabama to win national championships. It's, is Alabama going to pay me what Miami pay me? Is Alabama going to buck up? It's no longer you just want to play for Nick Saban and the potential of being a number one draft pick. That's 4 or 5 years down the line, coach. What am I getting now? Well, I want mine. I want to eat now. You see, right. I mean, C.J. Stroud just got a Bentley. I mean, come on, the kid. I mean, C.J. Stroud just got a $150,000, $200,000 car for an NIL deal. Are we kidding ourselves where we're at? So these coaches that are making, by the way, astronomical money, okay, now are going, hey, it's not just my job to recruit. It's your job, if you love the program, to keep us on top. And you know what that means? You put in $2 million last year? Well, now we need four. That's what it comes down to, Ben.
Every time you hear a coach speak about name, image, and likeness moving forward, always take it with a grain of salt. You could even go back to Nick Saban's comments, Joe, now a couple of weeks ago when he was speaking at the World Games kickoff in Birmingham, when he was talking almost in a way, yes, about Jimbo Fisher, and that was an instance of it, but his idea of staying afloat and staying competitive and staying at the top of the recruiting rankings so we can keep winning national championships was almost a subtle way of saying, hey, Bama boosters, start upping the ante here. So anytime you hear a coach speak about NIL, again, take it with a grain of salt. A lot of it will almost be a call to action to their biggest boosters, to people around their community, in their market, of making sure they can provide that money for marketability efforts for their biggest players. So yes, it seems ridiculous that CJ Stroud, a 20-year-old or 21-year-old, whatever he is, driving around a college campus in Columbus, Ohio in a Bentley, but it's the Bentley dealership way of putting out some of their money and putting out some of their branding around campus to whatever reason they need to do so. But it incentivizes the quarterback and CJ Stroud to take advantage of this time in his life. And it would be a burden to me, Joe, to have to try to park on a college campus, especially in something as big as the rig that is a Bentley. But hey, kudos to CJ Stroud at the moment. And I think you brought up a great point there as well, Joe. James Franklin's making $9 million a year. It's not like the guy has come on hard times and he's asking for money to help himself out. It's the way of college football. Lane Kiffin said it very well in an interview a couple of weeks ago, Joe. He said, you can classify us as an amateur sport, although we all know that's a farce. This is a professional league. It has been a professional league. It's a $1 billion-plus yearly revenue league. That's not amateurism. That's professionality. And now we're starting to get into some of that a little bit. It just has to change the mindset of how we view things.
Yeah, and I think some of the older coaches that are set in their ways are going to have to move on because they're not going to be able to conform to what players want on the field and off the field. And that's really what it comes down to. We're used to, you know, coaches running the program and saying it's my way or no way. Well, guess what, coach? No, because now I'm making maybe comparable money to what you are in your assistants, and now we have to have a deeper conversation. So we'll see how this plays out in terms of the wins and losses on the field. The players that I want to say embrace it, not the players, but the coaches like Lane Kiffin and some of the younger coaches, they're going to have long-standing success down the road while, you know, older coaches like Nick, maybe this handcuffs him. Maybe not this year with Bryce Young, but maybe 2-3 years if he's still coaching in the game.
There will be a charge, a necessary demand of ways to find the balance of it all, right? You're still grooming 17, 18, and 19-year-old guys to play for your football team. There's a lot to learn from a maturity standpoint and a professional standpoint, because as people in the NFL will tell you, the great thing about being in the NFL is you don't need to go to class, you don't need to do all this or all that. You're a professional. You take care of your business, and you're left alone if you take care of business. That's a change from the thought of how college worked, where you could pretty much control these kids' lives. You can control their schedules. You send them to class, a workout, practice, home. Class, workout, practice, home. There will be a blending of that, Joe, and necessary to find that balance. And the innovators, the best coaches in the business, paid all of these millions of dollars to do so and to win football games, will find their way. And I think the systems in place in Alabama and Clemson and Columbus and all of these spots will be just fine. And that is just the reality we have here in college football. All of those teams, by the way, Joe, when you add in Georgia to the mix, have a team win total at 10.5. Alabama's juice to the over of a 10.5 team win total is minus 210. We round out the show up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We round out a Thursday edition of Football Full Circle live here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Alongside Joe Lisi, I am Ben Stevens. Now, Lisi, here's something interesting for you. You know I have my ties to the great state of Nebraska, Omaha, and covering the Cornhuskers in Lincoln. Adrian Martinez was one of the biggest recruits I can remember covering my final year in Omaha. He was the guy, the four-star out of Fresno, California, that was supposed to be Scott Frost's guy. As Frost got to Lincoln, so too did Adrian Martinez. They were going to bring the Huskers back together. Well, it didn't really happen all that much. Adrian playing through a variety of injuries throughout his career. Gutsy, but never quite the hype that he lived up to in his freshman season. Now he transferred. He's in the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, where he had something to say yesterday in speaking about why he went to K-State, saying he went to Kansas State to have the opportunity to win and be in a bowl game, something he was unable to do during his time at Nebraska. Kansas State's team win total, Joe, is 6.5. You think you believe in the Wildcats entering this season?
Well, think about this. They were 8-5 last year and beat a depleted LSU team in the bowl game. They have Deuce Vaughn. They have an ability to run the football. They're a blue-collar team under Chris Klieman. The problem is, can Adrian Martinez limit turnovers? That's the one thing. Skylar Thompson, when he was in the lineup, I mean, he really progressed each and every week, right? Became a better passer in his times in Manhattan. Are we sure that Adrian has developed from his times in Lincoln? I'm not so sure. He might do more damage on the ground. I say they're a 6-6 team this year.
That would be just under that team win total of 6.5. One more show for this week on Football Full Circle. It comes tomorrow on a Friday with both myself, Ben Stevens, and Joe Lisi. Joe, we'll talk manana. Up next here on Sports Grid Radio is The Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Stay tuned in.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.